This is Radio Superior 1945, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from 1945. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. Jack McKenna reminding you to plant a victory garden. Our food is fighting. It's 6 o'clock Central Standard Wartime, Monday, May 7th, 1945. Lou Martin is in with the 6 o'clock news, and boy, oh boy, oh boy, does he have big news. Wow. I mean, big stuff, big stuff. I'm not going to say any more. Let's go right to Lou. Whoa. Big news, eh, Lou?
I appreciate you getting right to it in your own semi-direct way. Good evening, Jack, and good listeners. Germany has quit.
Wow.
It's all over. Official VA Day is tomorrow, but the surrender is signed, sealed, and done.
Wow. I mean, woo. Hey, Joe, did you hear?
America greeted the news of Germany's unconditional surrender with mixed emotions. Some celebrated with hilarious gaiety.
Hey, did I hear a woo-hoo-hoo?
Take that, Adolf.
Woo-hoo!
Generally, woo-hoo!
Yeah.
While others stopped what they were doing and bowed in solemn prayer. I said others stopped what they were doing and bowed in solemn prayer.
Oh,
right, of course.
New York City's reaction was a snowstorm of waste paper that cascaded down from buildings as people shouted and sang in the streets.
Yahoo!
But knowing that victory over Japan is still a hard battle ahead, there was almost universal pause for prayer.
Look out, Tojo. We're coming for you, Nick.
Oh, you got that right, Buster. Woo-hoo!
Especially in Wisconsin, which has sent most of its guardsmen to bear the brunt of the battle in the Pacific. Thus, many are pausing to pray.
Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my
soul. Oh, for crying out loud, that's a child's bedtime prayer. We begin our World Shortwave News Roundup from France.
This is Reims, France. Edward Kennedy at the headquarters of Allied Supreme Commander Dwight D. Eisenhower. Germany surrendered unconditionally to the Western Allies and Russia at 2:41 a.m. today. The surrender took place at a little red schoolhouse, which is the headquarters of General Eisenhower. It brought the war in Europe to a formal end after 5 years, 8 months, and 6 days of bloodshed and destruction. German Chief of Staff General Alfred Jodl signed for Germany, and Eisenhower Chief of Staff Lieutenant General Walter Beadle Smith signed for the Supreme Allied Command. It was also signed by General Ivan Suslaparov for Russia and General François Sauvez for France. General Eisenhower was not present for the signing, but immediately afterward, General Jodl and General Admiral Hans-Georg Friedeberg were received by the Supreme Commander. They were asked sternly if they understood the surrender terms imposed on Germany. They answered yes. An announcement on Flensburg Radio, which has been carrying announcements from the German command, said, quoting now, "German men and women, the high command of the armed forces has today, at the order of Grand Admiral Dönitz, declared the unconditional surrender of all fighting German troops. After almost 6 years of struggle, we have succumbed. Our sympathy firstly goes out to our soldiers. Nobody must deceive themselves on the harshness of the terms which our enemies have imposed on the German people. Heavy sacrifices will be demanded of us. We must take them upon us and stand loyally to our obligations." The broadcast continued. "On the other hand, we must not despair. From the collapse in the past, we must keep in mind one thing, the idea of our unity, of comradeship, of assistance to each other," end quote. The end of European warfare, the bloodiest and costliest war in human history, It has claimed at least 40 million casualties of dead, wounded, or captured. It came after 5 years and 8 months of strife that covered the globe. Hitler's arrogant armies invaded Poland September 1st, 1939, beginning the agony that convulsed the world. The BBC says telephone conversations are going on between Washington, London, and Moscow in order to fix the exact hour of the VE Day announcement by President Truman, Prime Minister Churchill, and Premier Stalin. In Reims, France, this is Edward Kennedy calling Britain. Come in, London.
This is London calling Webmiller, your correspondent. The war in Germany, the most disastrous in history, ended today with the unconditional surrender of the once mighty Wehrmacht. The British government announced that tomorrow will be celebrated as VE Day. Prime Minister Winston Churchill will broadcast at 2 o'clock London time after giving the news to the House of Commons. King George will follow with an evening radio address. News of the surrender first came as an Associated Press dispatch early this morning and immediately sent church bells tolling from Rome to London. The British Press Association attributed the delay between today's capitulation and VE Day tomorrow to the importance of synchronizing the announcement from London, Washington, and Moscow. In London, this is Webb Miller calling France. Come in, Paris.
This is Paris. Harrison Salisbury here. American troops in Italy and Austria have rescued notables from 22 nations, including 3 former French premiers and former Austrian premier Kurt Schuschnigg, the man who stood up to Hitler in March 1938 when he refused to agree to Hitler's absorption into Germany. The French leaders are Léon Blum, Paul Reynaud, and Edouard Deladier. Also rescued was Lieutenant General Thaddeus Nomorowski, also known as General Bohr, who led the Warsaw Uprising, and Reverend Martin Niemöller. Niemöller was a famous German pastor who commanded a U-boat in the First World War and was cast into Nazi prisons for defying Hitler. Former French commanders, General Maurice Gamelin and General Maxime Weygand, were also rescued. American troops in Italy liberated 133 political prisoners. Those prisoners narrowly escaped death by the Gestapo troops, who were ordered to shoot them before liberation. Many, if not most, of these men had been long given up for dead, including former Premier Blum. He was the object of Nazi scorn because he was a Jew. All of the political prisoners had been taken to a fortress in the Italian Alps a week ago from the notorious Dachau prison camp near Munich. All the captives were in surprisingly good condition. The white-haired Austrian Schuschnigg had been forbidden to talk to anyone but his wife in 7 years. He was not even allowed to hear his own name. Guards called him Dr. Oster. In Paris, this is Harrison Salisbury calling the Pacific. Come in, Guam.
This is Pacific Headquarters, Frank Tremaine, your correspondent. U.S. Armed to Tokyo commanders here have announced that Yank bombers from the Philippines and Okinawa have sunk 35 more Nipponese ships and damaged 17 others. U.S. ground forces in the Philippines and Okinawa have killed more than 22,000 Jap soldiers in the past 10 days of fighting. A Japanese breakthrough in central China to within 35 miles of a U.S. air base near Chikang is the only blight in today's communique. The U.S. 10th Army resumed its offensive on Okinawa, killing 3,000 Japanese soldiers since the Nippon counteroffensive last Friday. Aussie troops captured 2 oil fields and 1 airdrome in fighting in Terracan off Borneo. And in one of the oldest campaigns of the war, Allied troops smashed within 3 miles of Wilak on the north-central New Guinea coast. Washington announced today that 6 million American troops from the completed war in Europe will be thrown against the Japanese in the Pacific. These troops may be needed to assist the U.S. 10th Army, which has had 15,000 casualties, including 2,300 killed in the Okinawa campaign alone. More than 33,000 Japanese have been killed in that battle. In Guam, this is Frank Tremaine calling Warsaw. Come in, Virgil Pinkley.
This is Warsaw, Virgil Pinkley reporting. The Russian State Atrocity Commission is charging that more than 4 million Allied nationals, most of them Jews, died in the Nazi death camp at Oswiecim in Poland. The exhaustive investigation asserted that the Oswiecim camp was personally directed by Nazi Gestapo Chief Heinrich Himmler. The commission called it the Nazi death plant. Photographs published in the Communist Party newspaper Pravda showed piles of mutilated bodies at Oswiecim. The Russians estimate that 1 million prisoners were killed or processed a year since 1939. The commission also charges that Himmler ordered scientific experiments conducted by Germany's leading biologists, biochemists, and physicists on live prisoners at Oswiecim, or Auschwitz, as the English call it. In Warsaw, this is Virgil Pinkley.
President Truman has agreed to give simultaneous announcements of the surrender of Germany with London and Moscow. Press Secretary Jonathan Daniels says that he will address the nation over radio tomorrow.
Wow! Oh, boy, oh, boy!
Throughout the maze of government buildings in Washington, there were brief timeouts for subdued exchanges, but otherwise it was business as usual. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:08. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Holy mackerel. Wow. Huge, big, big, and huge. Wow.
Perhaps if you get to the sponsor, we can get to more of that wowy news.
Right you are, Lou. Whoa.
Many firms in Superior and this area have gotten together and are printing a message from Bill Mauldin and his famous GIs. I understand back home they're saying the war is over.
Speak louder, I can't hear you.
Sure, Bill, speak louder. Celebrate louder, America. You'll have to be heard above the bloody gurgles of the men who are dying at this very moment of our day of victory. The ghostly whispers, mighty in volume, of the men who died not to kill one nation, but to kill all tyranny. Today, yes, our great fight is but half won. Japan, our final and most dangerous enemy, still lives. Japan still boasts an army of 4 million fanatical last-ditch fighters, with half again that many in reserve. Japan's huge, ill-gotten wealth of empire is still essentially intact. Japan still hates our guts. Today, if we can, if we choose, start breaking faith with those who died. We can go on a fool's orgy, get drunk on our success so far. Or we can, if we choose, pray for our dead and for the lives of those who have been spared. We can stay on the job, buy another war bond, give a pint of blood. We can choke back our cheers and save our wind for the mighty task that lies ahead. These words brought to you by many, many firms in Superior and this area. Lou?
Superior is awaiting a signal from President Truman to observe VE Day tomorrow. The President hasn't officially declared tomorrow VE Day, so we'll have to stand by. But if it is declared before 7 a.m., all schools will be closed. All stores will be closed. All taverns, bars, and clubs. Globe Shipyard will work, but Butler Shipyard has declared tomorrow a holiday. All city offices will be open. Churches of the Superior Ministerial Association will hold services at 7:30 tomorrow evening. Concordia and Pilgrim Lutheran Church will have their services at 8 o'clock. Cathedral of Christ the King will hold its services at 7:45, according to the Very Reverend Father Joseph Annebring. Because of the newsprint shortage, the Superior Evening Telegram published a one-page sheet as an extra today. They usually publish a four-page extra. Mr. and Mrs. Edward Amon of North Fifth Street have been notified that their son was killed in the Pacific. First Lieutenant Robert Amon died fighting on the Philippine island of Jolo, April the 12th. Lieutenant Amon is survived by his wife, Jean Edna, whom he met in Australia. Private First Class Marvin Jensen of Gordon was killed in action in Germany April the 14th. His father, Christian Jensen, received that word Saturday. Private Jensen had been in the service since 1942, overseas the last 12 months. He's survived by his father and twin brother, Melvin. Several days ago, we had a story about a Superior Army colonel who was decorated but hadn't told his wife what he did to earn the medals. Now we know. Mike Simonson has the story.
This is a grim tale, Lou. Colonel George Hathaway of 2106 Hammond Avenue is in charge of the medical program for liquidating Germany's oldest and most notorious Nazi concentration camp. Dachau is 12 miles northwest of Munich and was the camp for political prisoners. It is also the place where medical experiments were conducted on living people. As a surgeon with the 15th Corps, he's supervising the care of 32,000 inmates from many nations. Most are Jewish. Colonel Hathaway reports that all of the people there are starving, every one of them, that many have typhus, tuberculosis, pneumonia, and other dreaded afflictions. According to medical records kept by doctors at Dachau, one in four people there had died of natural causes. Others perished from typhus. More than 12,000 people who died this year have been marked as typhus victims. Since Dachau was liberated Wednesday, 146 inmates have died, many in their bunks. Colonel Hathaway says some of these people are beyond hope because of starvation. American officers believe Dachau was an extermination camp for Jews and a place for political prisoners. When troops liberated the camp, they found a crematorium and rooms and railroad cars crammed with corpses. Lou?
Thanks. Reports of businesses at the head of the lakes asking for war prisoner labor is causing concern in the Duluth Superior Labor Federation. Union delegates at the Federation meeting opposed the use of prison labor. A Superior woman will christen the launching of a new barge at Marine Iron and Shipbuilding Company in Duluth. Mrs. Elliot Bradshaw of North 4th Street will christen the YW-116 as it's launched May the 12th. The barge will be the 100th vessel built by Marine Iron and Shipbuilding Company. And finally, Superior War Manpower Commissioner Director J.P. Budzinski urged all people in essential war positions to stay on the job tomorrow. He says that war workers have to remain vigilant until the other half of the war is won. Jack?
On one hand, Lou, I'd like to be essential. On the other, I'd like to have tomorrow off.
Essentially, it's up to the boss.
Lou Martin, folks, essentially, a good newsman. Now the forecast for this Monday, May 7th, 1945. After a beautiful Sunday when we reached a high of 73 degrees, it's going to cool down with the wind off of old Gitche Gumee. Look for a low tonight of just 30 degrees and a sunny but cool tomorrow with a high of 55. It's music time. Let's kick things off with this fun number by Benny Goodman and his orchestra. This is the 1 o'clock jump on the Martin and McKenna Show. Benny Goodman and 1 o'clock jump on station KUWS. Sears has a telephone special going on right now. Call now and get a great deal on work shirts for just 93 cents each, plus postage. Long-wearing chambray, sanforized, shrunk, limit 3 per customer. Call 5581 for the Sears telephone special. That's right. You don't even have to leave your home.
Buy a shirt for VE Day, I say. Hoo-hoo-hoo-ee! I gotta do something. You know what I'm saying, guys?
Let me introduce station engineer in charge, Joe Gardonio.
I'm with you there, buddy. I mean, after years of pent-up woo-hooing, how do you not woo-hoo?
Do something constructive.
Huh? Do what?
Do something constructive. Something that makes a difference, unlike woo-hooing.
What? Say, Lou's got something there. Hey, I've got an idea. Come on, Jack, lend a hand.
But I'm working here.
Well, if you can call playing music work, get one of those things spinning there. Give me a hand. Come on, it'll just take a sec.
Here's a favorite, friends. This is Ella Fitzgerald and a Tisket, a Tasket on the Martin and McKenna Constructive Show.
A tasket, a brown and yellow basket. I send a letter to my mummy. On the way I dropped it, I dropped it, I dropped it. Yes, on the way I dropped it, a little girlie picked it up and put it in her pocket. She was trucking on down the avenue, but not a single thing to do. She went peck, peck, pecking all around. When she spied it on the ground, she took it, she took it, my little yellow basket. And if she doesn't bring it back, I think that I will die. Tasket, I lost my yellow basket, and if that girlie don't return it, don't know what I'll do. Oh dear, I wonder where my basket can be. Oh gee, I wish that little girl I could see. A tasket, I lost my yellow basket. Won't someone help me find my basket and make me happy again, again?
Was it green?
No, 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 no.
Was it red?
No, 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 no.
Was it blue?
No, 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 no. Just a little yellow basket.
Ella Fitzgerald and her big hit, A Tisket, A Tasket, on station KUWS. I just helped Joe make an E and a V.
Ah, you mean a V and an E for VE Day, not EV Day.
See, that's nice and constructive.
Yeah, I'm going outside now to hoist him up the radio antenna tower. Then the whole town can see.
Suddenly I feel lots of potential for destructive.
Now, I know a lot of you ladies out there in Radio Land will want to stop by and watch. And if you do, I'm sure there'll be many of you, so please keep your distance. Just stand back. You're welcome to observe, but this is tricky business. I don't want anyone getting hurt.
Or sued.
This is a complicated job dealing with the dizzying heights of a radio tower. A job only experts should attempt.
So people should stand way back.
Especially today with that darn nor'easter of Lake Superior kicking back up. Well, I'll be back here too sweet.
Good luck, Joe. What next, Lou?
Harriet's coming in, and I've got a little history about Germany, too.
And I've got 6 jerks in a Jeep from the Andrews sisters on the Martin and McKenna Woohoo Show.
a jeep. Six creeps in a jeep that leaps. Now here we come, beep, beep. We're six jerks in a jeep. We're six whacks in a hack. Six quacks here to send you, Jack. Now look here, Max, no cracks. We're six whacks in a hack. The jeep goes jumping and bumping along. Gonna knock you right off your seat. Here we come romping and stomping a song. A ding it with the reed beat. We're six jerks in a jeep. Six cleats in a jeep that weeps. Now here we go. We're six jerks in a jeep. The jeep goes jumping along. Gonna knock you right off your seat. Here we come stomping along. Just a romping along in our jeep. Beep, beep, toot, toot, clap, la, ha. Beep, beep, toot, toot, clap, la. We're six buttes on a scoot that will root for my baby. Buttes on a scoot that will suit. Now here we come, toot, 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 toot. Six buttes on a scoot. We're six heels on a wheel. Shlum meals on a wheel that will reel. We're looking, looking for a meal. We're six heels on a wheel. The jeep goes a-jumping and a-bumping along. We're gonna knock you right off in your seat. Here we come romping and a-stomping a song. A dig it with the reed beat. We're six blokes on a spoke. Five blokes and a scary moat. And oh boy, are we broke. Yes, we are six blokes on a spoke.
Sisters and six jerks in a jeep on KUWS. I want to buy a jeep someday, Lou.
Those are pretty bare-bone cars, you know.
No problem. I have good natural padding.
Let me introduce our community editor, Harriet Farwick. Good to see you again. I'm glad that you got off from the shipyard.
The ship orders are slowing down a bit. Who knows how much longer we'll be needed by the Maritime Commission.
It'll be interesting now that the war in Europe is over.
Well, I've got so much news about our boys in the service, Lewis. We can be so proud of our men and women from here. The Henry Sorry family of Poplar got some wonderful news about their brave son-in-law, Corporal Robert Moore. Corporal Moore single-handedly put out a fire at an airbase in India. A fire started in a refueling unit that had just been loaded with high explosives. And not only that, goodness, it was next to fuel pumps and a 35,000-gallon tank. With utter disregard for his own safety, Corporal Moore covered the fire in foam before the fire department arrived. He's been given the Soldier's Medal for heroism. Mr. and Mrs. Peter Ludvigson of Superior report that their four sons in the service are doing fine. Sig Ludvigson has been overseas for 2 years, and Clarence has been in the Pacific for 17 months. But both boys were home recently on leave at the same time. They were joined by their other brother, Leif, who just joined the Seabees 2 months ago. Only Master Sergeant Kenneth Ludvigson wasn't home. He's a quartermaster baker in the Army in Germany. Poor Sig is recovering from malaria. He's been through so much. He's with the 82nd Airborne as a paratrooper and dropped behind enemy lines in the Normandy invasion. He was wounded in October and has the Purple Heart. But that's not all. Sig has 5 battle stars, the Bronze Star, and a presidential citation too, Lewis.
I have a short history of Germany that may give perspective to its warring past.
Go ahead, Professor.
Oh, Jack, Lewis could have been a professor if he'd chosen to.
Well, thank you, Harriet. In the 8th century, Teutonic tribesmen, brandishing spears, brought their families along to invade Gaul, which is now France. In the 12th century, Frederick I, who was called Barbarossa, fought a revolt for land reform. Frederick the Great, King of Prussia, founded the military state in 1760. He fought the Seven-Year War against Russia, France, and Austria, winning Silesia and establishing Prussia as the leading military power in Europe. And then, of course, there was the Iron Chancellor Bismarck, who created the German Empire and defeated France in 1871. Finally, Germany took the brunt of a defeat in World War I, but the Treaty of Versailles failed to disarm her or prevent another world war, Jack.
My favorite has always been Bismarck.
What do you mean, your favorite?
Say, boys, I was just watching Joe use a pulley or something to get this big V up our tower. Look out the window. It's swinging in the wind.
Oh, looks kind of dangerous to me.
I assumed it would turn into something dangerous.
Just think the damage the point of the V could do. It could be lethal. But on with the music, friends. And then maybe we'll find out how Joe did.
Or how Joe didn't
do. Here's another favorite. Because we like playing favorites just for you, friends. This is Glenn Miller and his orchestra and Chattanooga Choo Choo on the Martin and McKenna Show.
Aside, partner, it's my day. Bend an ear and listen to my version
of a really solid Tennessee excursion.
Pardon me, boy, is that the Chattanooga Juju?
Yes, yes, track 29.
Boy, you can give me a shine.
Can you afford to board Chattanooga Choo Choo?
I got my fare
and just a trifle to spare.
You leave the Pennsylvania station about a quarter to four. Read a magazine and then you're in Baltimore.
Dinner in the diner, nothing could be finer.
Then to have your ham and eggs in Carolina.
When you hear the whistle blowing eight to the bar, then you know that Tennessee is not very far.
Shamble all the coal in, gotta keep it rolling.
Ooh, ooh, Chattanooga, there you are.
There's gonna be a certain party at the station.
Satin and lace.
I used to call Funny Face. She's gonna cry until I tell her that I'll never roam.
So, Chattanooga, choo-choo.
Won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, Chattanooga.
Get aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga.
All aboard.
Chattanooga, Chattanooga. Chattanooga, choo-choo.
Won't you choo-choo me home?
Chattanooga, choo-choo.
Miller and his orchestra, and Chattanooga Choo Choo on station KUWS. Choo Choo or Woo Woo? Here's Lou Lou with the new news.
From Stockholm, a dispatch from the Norwegian frontier says a German march across the Swedish border began today. Under surrender terms, the soldiers will be heading to internment camps. From London, the Swedish home radio reports that an Allied naval force of 48 ships is entering the Oslo Fjord. Landing on Norwegian soil is expected within hours. and Corporal William Sutton of Superior was one of the five men in the 7th Army who liberated two former French premiers. The five men accepted the surrender from a German major headed the castle garrison. Strangely enough, a United Press report says the German guard stayed with the five Yanks overnight until the U.S. battalion showed up. Even more strange, the Germans fought to help the Americans when the Nazi SS troops attacked the castle, intent on killing former Premier Edward Daladier and Paul Reynaud. Jack?
Wow! The Germans helped us?
I'll join you in that one. Wow!
Oh, Joe, how'd it go?
That didn't take too long. Any women show up after your subtle request?
Oh, Lewis, I'm sure the women have something better to do than gawk at a guy putting letters on a tower.
A bunch of them showed up.
That's good.
And boy, do those gals have gallows humor, urging me to be careful and not die and then laughing at me.
That's bad.
Yeah, they were shouting advice to beat the band, too.
That's worse.
And none stuck around when the cop showed up.
That's not good.
The police?
Yeah, they thought I was part of some frat house prank, so they ordered me to take the letters down.
A fraternity prank?
See, the wind blew the V upside down.
Oh, goodness.
And then it blew the E backwards.
No wonder the cops showed up. Backwards E's are against the law, you know.
Well, you can picture it now, can't you? It looked to those coppers like I was hoisting some Greek letters up the tower.
I suppose not a lot of our boys in blue have belonged to a fraternity.
Well, you'd have to get into college to do that.
And with that controversial note, we'll be back same time, same place on your radio dial. The good Lord willing, that is.
And Superior's finest, except our apology.
For Lou Martin, then, Harriet Farrig, and the constructive engineer Joe Gardonio, this is Jack McKenna reminding you that war bonds mean freedom.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1945, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Harriet Farrig is played by Jennifer Simonson. Other performances by Paul Guggenheimer, Don Hansen, John Munsell. All events reported on Radio Superior 1945 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.